knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, there's a lot going on in the world.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound insensitive by the frivolity of this.
Sure.
But look, it's the dreamy, creamy summer.
Of course.
And I had planned this in advance. That I was going to have a special week. And so this week is astronaut ice cream week. I'm going to be exploring the world of astronaut ice creams.
Sure.
And I have done so a little bit so far. And I have some mixed results. There is a wide...
Like space. There are a lot of mixed results out there.
A lot of nothingness. And then there's a planet and a planet there.
It's a whole thing.
There is a huge gap between like a decent... astronaut ice cream and some of it is so bad. So I was asking for like, am I going to find something that's really terrible?
Sure.
I have some of these astronaut ice creams, but we'll get to some of the specifics throughout the week. But one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up as my bright spot
yes.
is people need to know it's astronaut ice cream week.
Yeah.
But second, I need to warn you in advance about a picture I'm going to send you for the Instagram account.
Okay, all right.
It is very dumb.
It's dumb?
And yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much,
okay.
but I think people will enjoy it quite a bit.
Okay.
So what's your bright
Excellent.
Spot?
Excellent. My bright spot, Dan, there can be only one answer, Dan.
Mm.
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers drops.
Kendrick Lamar.
And I can tell you right now, it is the culmination of the past 100 years of music.
Whoa.
It is incredible. There is no hyperbole that you can make about this album.
Uh-huh.
It is the teleological endpoint of the moment Scott Joplin hit the keys, man.
Mm.
This is what it is.
You said the same thing about Sum 41's first album.
I did say that, and I was proven correct.
Fat Lip does hold up. I don't know if that was in their first album.
No, it's amazing. It's going to be studied and picked apart for 20 years.
I've heard a lot of great things.
Everything.
I have not heard the album yet myself because I've been kind of busy with my own business
here.
But yeah, I look forward to turning that on.
Incredible.
When I have a little downtime.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we have an interesting episode to go over, and actually, we have someone along with us who might have a bright spot of their own.
Holy shit, is he behind me?
He is.
Oh, God!
So, ladies and gentlemen, joining us for a very, I don't know if this has ever happened before,
it's
someone
never
along
happened
for
before.
A full episode.
No, it's going to be weird.
Joining us, one of the plaintiff's attorneys for Alex's Sandy Hook lawsuits in Texas, Mark Bankston. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good to be back.
Great. What's your bright spot?
I don't know. That new Kendrick CD is pretty good.
My description's a little bit better.
I just tagged myself as an over 40-year-old. Yeah, I'm listening to some CDs, gentlemen.
I have the physical copy of the Kendrick album.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I saw that on YouTube. Come on now. No, like, you know, the world's so dark right now that one of our bright spots is the utter collapse of crypto. And how tough of a world is it? We're like, you know, financial collapse is something that's your bright spot, is to see all the crypto bros go down.
I know, definitely think some good memes have come out of it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as far as the wider world, no, there's not a lot of bright spots. Things are looking really, really tough right now. But my little corner of it's looking okay. I've had a nice little vacation, because some of your listeners know I've been supposed to be in a trial against Alex
Jones.
True.
Yeah, we were supposed to be in Texas and hanging out, and that did not end up happening.
Mm-mm.
No, instead I went to the Hill Country and took my kid down the Guadalupe River.
Nice.
I had 2 weeks set aside, you know, where I had to be in this trial.
Did he get back yet? Is he...
You didn't just drop him off at the Guadalupe
River. Right. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. Just float him on out.
Just leave him at the LBJ library. Call it good.
Yeah, no, it's been a good couple of weeks, but we're all just kind of sitting here twiddling our thumbs. As soon as this bankruptcy stunt happened, and to kind of, you know, I assume everybody knows what we're talking about, right on the eve of the trial, we're supposed to have the first trial that Jones is supposed to face from the Sandy Hook parents. He engineers a strange little stunt, and it was a bankruptcy stunt that did not involve himself or the company by which he operates his business under. It involved some little paper entities he registered 10 years ago. And he used the stunt to stop the trial, because basically when you file a bankruptcy, you get an automatic order from a federal court that basically just says, put on the brakes, everybody stop. And so we had they led us right up to that thinking we were going to go to trial, you know, just basically lying through their teeth the whole time. And then like, you know, a few days beforehand, nope, we're going to bankruptcy court.
Yeah.
And so for me,
it was so right before that was, yeah. it was
calculated 100%.
It has to be like the way it was so immediate. I mean, like, me and Jordan had like tickets.
Lost money on this.
You're
Alex
fine.
Alex Jones owes me 300 unreturnable dollars.
You're fine. But yeah, like it was down to the wire. I find it very difficult to imagine that wasn't like something that's like, well,
oh no, 100%. I'll tell you, it wasn't like we had a hearing on March 10th. And it was to address a whole bunch of issues coming up into pretrial, and their new attorney, number 11 at the time, right out in front of the courthouse on break, was taunting me about the fact of, oh yeah, we got something cooking, we got something up our sleeve, and so I knew something was coming.
That doesn't seem cool.
That's literally what I said to him. Is I was like, dude, don't talk to me like you're Yoda. Just tell me what you're telling me, man. There's no reason to talk to me in riddles. Like,
fun
I don't even
shenanigans
know your name
we
yet.
Have.
It is a bit like a Scooby-Doo plot, like a ghost suddenly appears outside the courthouse and like, we got to shut this down for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really was. It was a total caper. And then at the end, you pull the hood off and you go, oh my God, Alex Jones, you're under the, you know, yeah.
It's Alex Jones under an Alex Jones mask.
So when that happened, I don't know anything about bankruptcy law. There's nothing I can do in a bankruptcy proceeding that makes my eyes glaze over. But of course, when you're representing who I represent and you're suing who I'm suing, the most powerful lawyers in the world come out of the woodwork and say, hey, we'll do this just to do it. We'll be happy to do it. So I've been sitting on the sidelines while, you know, some of the people who've been following this have noticed I haven't been in these hearings that have been going on in these bankruptcy things. Mm-hmm. And it's because we have counsel who've stepped up to do that. So basically what
Jones
is,
Dershowitz joined you for this one. That was crazy that the Dersh was in there.
We got him. We got, what's that guy's name? Lynn Woods in there.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Larry Clayman's giving us some reading advice.
That Basta guy who...
The Basta guy. Yeah. Abinati's doing it from... Zoom, you know, calling it from prison.
Just the top line.
No, like when seriously though, when you have a firm like Akin Gump who comes to you and is like, it's taken care of, don't worry about it. And for me, it was, I had 2 weeks of my life scheduled out for this. It's just all of a sudden, you know, look, these guys caused all sorts of inconvenience for everybody else. For all the witnesses who were going to come, for the court who was setting things up. You got to understand, they were calling a jury pool of 100 people, had given them a questionnaire. Like wheels were in motion. But as far as for me, they basically just handed me a big gift. They gave me a 2-week vacation.
I think it's probably like always been a feeling too of like, well, this is an inconvenience and a hassle, but this isn't going to get rid of the trouble for him, you know?
That's always been the – I mean, look, it was – from the moment the stunt happened, everybody knew it was a stunt. And the question was, would the proposal they're putting up be enough to make these cases go away? And any rational person knew from the start it wouldn't. And just to kind of explain – to your viewers, I mean, your listeners, what happened here. Your viewers. Listeners may have some. Are they watching us right now?
Because that's no.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
I just want to make sure nobody's looking at me right now. I'm in my pajamas at the moment. when your listeners may be familiar with bankruptcy from when the Purdue pharmaceuticals went down with the opioids and the Sackler family.
Basically, well, I mean, plenty of them have gone bankrupt too, I would assume. You know, they could be familiar with it from personal.
Let me tell you, Jordan, your own personal bankruptcy as a personal consumer when CarMax is chasing you down for that Ford Fiesta is very, very different than your experience when you're the Sacklers and you've killed 100 million people, right? Like, it's a just totally different experience. And
yeah, they get away free.
Right. They were able to engineer what we call a subchapter 5 bankruptcy is by taking entities which were doing nominal amounts of business, basically throwing them under the bus and then creating non-consensual releases for everybody else. And that means that the plaintiffs are brought into a room and told them, this is the money you have. Oh, and nobody's going to look really closely because you have third parties who are funding the bankruptcy. Like, this is what you got to understand. When Purdue goes into bankruptcy, then there are third-party sources of funding that could have been sued who are then giving Purdue the money to settle the bankruptcy under the table. But nobody gets to throw a lens on how much money is there. When Jones and his attorneys kind of saw how that went down, they thought, oh, this is a good idea. Let's try to do one of those. And what they didn't realize is they had none of the necessary ingredients to make it happen. They came in there with just a sham. You just can't write InfoWars on a piece of paper and then hand it over and say, all right, that's the company and now everything's going to be through that. Like, that doesn't work.
It turns out you can try.
Yeah, you know, I think my main problem is that you can do that and get a few weeks off from your trial. I think that's 100% fucked up.
You can during do that. Which you, can... you get a couple million
yeah,
in
exactly,
Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin. No, this is all fucked.
Yeah, everything about this is not just. There's no question about that. But if they had a business that had been doing even a nominal amount of commerce, they could have probably pulled this off. But instead, they just had some paper entities and they brought them down there. And the first thing that happens is the judge looks at them all and goes, none of these people are doing any business. None of them have any assets. What are we even doing here? We're all heading towards a dismissal here and we're all about to spend a bunch of money, make a bunch of witnesses, put a bunch of people on the stand and do all this to unravel the Gordian knot of this silliness that they put on this court. And you're right, they gained some time out of it. But instead, we just decided, let's just non-suit, dismiss our claims against the entities that don't have any assets.
Well, right? You wouldn't be able to get anything out of them anyway because of that, right?
Right? And I mean, so if this – and here's the deal is if this was a legit bankruptcy, those entities would normally be swinging from the chandeliers thinking, oh, great, we're off the hook. But that was never the point of this bankruptcy to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. And so from Jones's perspective – even though the attorneys for the entities and the trustee for the entities of these assetless entities are happy, they're like, all right, we're closing down this bankruptcy. Jones on his show is screaming about how he's been denied the right to his bankruptcy, right? Yeah. Because now all of a sudden you're in a very strange position where he took these paper entities, like one of which is named InfoWars LLC, pushed it to the side and separated it from itself. And then the moment that it had a separate and different legal interest than him – then all of a sudden he feels betrayed, right? He feels like the goal that he was going after, he can't get. And so that's what he's screaming on TV about, you know, on a show about right now.
And some of that is what we're going to talk about throughout this episode. There will be some complaining about that.
Very fun. But on Friday,
it
seems to be over.
On Friday, the news came out that the bankruptcy issue was sort of moot and things would be moving forward with the case. So that's one of the, you know, the reason why I reached out to you, and I wanted to get a bit of an update on it since I certainly don't speak the language of the court. And you said, hey, how about we talk about Alex's show from May 8th? Because there's some stuff that you wanted to go over on. And I said, hey, why not?
Let's do it.
So that's why we're here.
Well, part of the reason I wanted to do that is because people won't stop emailing me asking me what the hell is going on. So maybe I can just link them to your show and we can do it.
So you invited yourself on our show out of spite to our listeners.
Well, not our listeners necessarily.
Not necessarily. Believe me, your listeners
are necessarily. Okay.
Your listeners actually give the most lovely correspondence. They're the sweetest people on the whole planet. I'm actually talking about mainstream media. Are annoying as hell. They are like,
they don't listen to the show, buddy.
I gotta answer the same question. They're going to have to because I'm just sending it. Listen to this. I'm not talking to you. Just give here's the explanation.
This will be your statement of explaining.
Yes,
I don't like bankruptcy to begin with. Like, there's nothing about it that's fun or anything. I don't like, the less I can talk about it, the better. So, let's just make a record of what happened here so we can get everybody up to speed.
Nice. Well, yeah, it all seems very technical and bizarre and a pain in the ass.
Stupid is what you mean? That's yes. Bankruptcy is stupid. Just, I mean, that's what you could title the episode, that bankruptcy is stupid. That's the only thing we learned here today. Nobody, you're going to find out from this story, there's no lesson here other than bankruptcy is stupid.
If we titled things other than like just the name of the date, then I would consider it. But we have a strict policy of non-descriptive titles.
You cannot find the episode you are looking for,
right.
And that is by design. Listen to the whole show.
We don't want to draw people in.
Yes, exactly.
With aesthetic
get as
wrinkles.
Far away from our show as you can.
Yeah. So I've gone over this. We've got some clips to discuss. Some of it has to do with the bankruptcy. Some of it's just stupid.
Yeah.
But we start here on a note of the bankruptcy. Mm. But it's also a moment of self-reflection for Alex.
You know, I'm a good talk show host. I'm a good TV host. I mean, I'm it's an interesting, informative show, and we try to empower humanity. But I've got a big point that I really I'm not good at, and that is hyping something up and building it up. And so I'm just going to leave it at this, dealing with the disinformation board and George Soros. We got information 2 weeks ago that I mentioned on air, and then days later was even in the Associated Press, but like it was a good thing. And then we got more information Friday, and now we've gotten part of the documents, and we're getting more. But you talk about racketeering. You talk about illegal. What they're trying to do with InfoWars and what has come out in the state courts and the bankruptcy court is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable stuff.
He's on to us.
So he's got some documents, is what I hear from him.
Sure, I heard that. But what I'm focused on is, did he say he's bad at hyping things up?
Well, see, I have a mixed feeling about that.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing, because that is true and also not true simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. He does it a lot.
Yes.
And he's good at getting himself to do it.
Right.
But he's tactless at it.
Yes.
That
it's,
is true.
It's poor execution.
Yeah. Diminishing returns,
yes,
too.
Very much so.
So we did hear about this on a recent show. Alex did say, he did hint that Soros is behind his bankruptcy, or there's some shady dealings.
Of course.
Okay.
I get it.
You know, it's hard. Oh, God, this is just great stuff. We're already off to a wonderful start. I
can hear you not answering the question, sir.
Yeah, like I'm just, all you hear from me right now is a bunch of obfuscation, right? No, this is wonderful.
I think I hear whirring in the background. Are you shredding documents?
Yeah, right. Okay, so here's two thoughts. One is, whenever I hear anybody now on InfoWars talk about "we have documents," quote unquote, all I can think about is going in and taking the deposition of their corporate representative, Daria Karpova, and she brought a little folder of documents with her. And those documents were the most hysterical, absurd things I can imagine. Like, I came with my case today, and it's like, here's a Wikipedia printout of the Reichstag fire to show that false flag. Here is a page from Wolfgang Halbig's conspiracy website. It's like, I don't know what the hell they have in terms of documents, but I know two things. One, it's going to be really dumb. And two, they're going to have done a really bad job of reading whatever it is, because they simply this is how it goes every time.
I think that I've actually worked out what the document they're talking about is.
All right,
is.
Go ahead with me, because this is all hitting me. Okay, go ahead.
So I think that the document Alex is talking about is just the letter that the U.S. trustee sent to the court.
Oh, that's
wonderful. Think that's it.
God, that's wonderful.
It's that the government was like, hey, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Right, and okay, Alex so is you, like, this is all coming down it. To... He doesn't understand how civics, like, is a high school civics thing, is what we're dealing with right now, is why I think George Soros is involved. He thinks because the U.S. trustee made a recommendation from the court about thumbs up, thumbs down on this bankruptcy, like it does, and like it's its job to do to enforce the bankruptcy code.
That's the only thing I can think of in terms of, like, what is a document?
I don't know. So, because, look, I heard him talking about, like, oh, Soros is behind all this. We know the law firms and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is what I'm interested to hear, right? Because up until now, it has been kind of generic, and it's been kind of thrown more at the court really recently than us, because he just gets mad at the courts. And that bothers me. Because I'll tell you, I'm in two minds of this. When I hear him go off on this stuff about Soros, on one hand, I'm laughing to myself and I'm thinking, well, actually, that's pretty good if if people in my jury pool hear that he's going off about Soros, you know, that's a wonderful thing for a Travis County jury to hear. But the other mind of it is I keep seeing him say this shit about our judge and saying all sorts of like really antagonistic, hostile shit about our judge. And and I, you know, she didn't ask to be like, she's got to go and walk into the courthouse every day when we're having this trial.
True.
And so, yeah, like, I don't,
I mean, she also has the power to stop him. She's not doing anything. She's not, I mean, she could do shit, right? I mean, I assume that the law allows you to do shit.
Look, I am a lawyer who is currently suing somebody and trying to get them held legally responsible for the things they said, like their speech. But I'm telling you right now, if you are talking about that judge should do something to shackle his ability to talk to his audience about the circumstances of his trial and whether he thinks he's getting a fair trial, the moment you say, oh, well, now he's crossed into crazy town because he's talking about George Soros, now you're doing something that I even believe is really offensive to the First Amendment. I don't think the responsibility falls on this judge at all to enforce it. I think it falls on the counsel who is representing Alex Jones right now. And what I don't think a lot of people understand is they've seen a lot of parade of some really bad lawyers in this case. But right now, Alex Jones has been picked up by a new guy who's a former U.S. attorney, a United States Justice Department attorney, who was an Eric Holder goon, according to Alex Jones, you know, 5-6 years ago. But now he's running the show for Alex in Texas. And that guy needs to get his house in order. That guy needs to get a leash on his damn client. If he wants to come and make a big reputation of himself representing some proto-fascist madman, the least he could do is try to like rein in the conspiracy theories about what's going on with our judge. For fuck's sake. I mean, like, get your house in order.
That would be
nice.
And
I know it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. I've been pounding this drum for 2 years. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, and it's not like there'd be a way that you could really effectively like have a gag order about the case without it like kind of having blowback, probably.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I think there's some really interesting allegations that are made throughout the course of this this episode. Okay. So I think you'll enjoy some of these high claims that Alex makes.
Right.
Here's some more about Soros for you. Not only is he entangled in this case against Alex, he's all over the place, man.
Uh-oh. Soros runs over 1,000 DAs and district attorneys, county attorneys now. George Soros is not even hiding the fact that he runs the Disinformation Bureau and that they have a plan to basically sue tens of thousands of conservative and Christian leaders once the precedent set with rigged juries, with rigged courts, with default operations against InfoWars, and they admit that and have now admitted to court officials in federal court that George Soros is running this and is set to publicly announce he's trying to take me off the air, which we already knew. But that arrogance.
Oh, the arrogance. The bravado.
I mean, it takes a lot of arrogance, I would say to ostensibly millions of people, if you don't stop this trial, George Soros personally will sue you.
What would it look like?
Here's what I just want to say about this is that people have second guessed a lot of the choices that I made along the way in this case. It's been 4 years. And
coming
every
on
time,
knowledge fight, certainly.
There's one, right? But like decision. Every time I make some aggressive decision about what I'm going to do with the court, because I've been super aggressive in this case, it always pays off. And people were second guessing when I decided to send a letter to the United States Bankruptcy Court saying that George Soros is controlling all of this. But see, now nobody second guessing me now that I filed documents with the bankruptcy court saying that George Soros is controlling all of this. And if you fuck around, you're going to have to face the wrath of George Soros. That was a very aggressive card for me to play, and not something they teach you in law school. So I just want to pat myself on the back a little bit. Look, I don't mean to be this facetious about this, but this man is literally, I think, at this point, believing that not believing, but wanting his audience to believe there is a collusion between the United States Department of Justice, my office, people I know, George Soros, everybody, to threaten the United States bankruptcy judge to make him not have a bankruptcy, when it's actually the attorneys for his own company who are like, yay, bankruptcy's over. Thank gosh, we're getting out of here. Like, it's
that is actually exactly what he thinks.
Yes.
Or yeah, no, that's exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He does believe that there is a level of coordination that is almost comical between you and
almost
Soros. And, yeah. Also, just yeah. To update on this, there's about 2,300 DAs in the entire country. So according to Alex, Soros runs half of them. And that's amazing, especially considering that there's a number of states where the DAs aren't elected. So Soros would have to be like able to control state commissions and governors, and it's a mess.
You know, the problem I have with this is that the most unreasonable thing about this is that somebody would be such a good administrator that they would be capable of doing
that. That would be outrageous.
I mean, I would almost want somebody who is capable of pulling
that's
that
a lot
off
of organization
to be in power.
What, does Soros use Asana?
I mean, it's so good. His QuickBooks mastery is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm guessing if I'm just going to be trying to like charitably figure out where this is coming from kind of thing, I would guess that this is some sort of calculation based on the number of DA candidates who receive some sort of donation from some group that in some way has money from Soros.
That's very generous.
Right? Like something like that. Like because this is how usually bullshit on InfoWars works, right? It's like usually like some blog, like a Breitbart blogger or something, will try to compile the number of people who've gotten a $200 from Progress for America or Americans for Civil Justice or something like that. And it's like, oh, well, that's tied to Soros money. So then here's the list of DAs. And somebody at InfoWars will see that, and then the story will become George Soros runs these DAs, right? Like it'll be something like that.
Kit Daniels writes a hot headline.
Right, something exactly like that. And because hey, Alex told me to write this headline, George Soros runs these DA's offices. But in this case, what's weird about these comments that he's making is it seems like he's seen something. He's seen some document or set of documents or some filing or pleading that has made his brain like,
I'm
going to
be honest with you. He always seems like this.
Yeah.
This is regular ass shit. This is not exciting at all. This is very boring. There's nothing behind it. He's riffing his ass off.
I understand that you're, you know, somewhat,
you're looking for connections,
you're,
man.
You're somewhat personally involved in the story that Alex is telling. So that probably makes things different.
Right. Right, because then it just makes it funny because I just want to know what document it is, because I guarantee you it's going to be hilarious what document made him lose his marbles over this. And I just don't know what it is yet.
This may be the kind of thing that ends up driving you crazy, because I would bet dollars to donuts there is no document.
Yeah.
I would bet you documents to donuts.
I can tell you this. You remind me a lot of Dan in the early days.
There's
got to be something there. I bet if I search hard enough, I'll find this document. He used to get so excited. Mm-hmm. The joy in his voice was palpable. And over the years, he's realized that literally every time it's going to be a rug pull, Lucy's going to pull that fucking football away, and down you go.
So I'm going back to the 2003 trying to chase that high.
Chase that high again. Yeah.
I think that your theory, Mark, is interesting, that it's like some sort of a misrepresentation of things. But I think it's even simpler. I think it's just that Jose Garza is the Travis County DA. And he, when he was running in the last election cycle, did get some donations from Soros aligned.
Sure.
So I think it's just that.
It's just that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
see, that's the sound. Okay. That's the tone of voice.
I mean, like, what it seemed to me too is that the extremely routine action of a United States trustee for a bankruptcy proceeding filing a recommendation with the court, yay or nay, that extremely routine action absolutely fried Jones's circuits. Because something about that set him off.
You're saying it's totally routine. I actually have some information here that might put this in a different context.
Okay.
It's just unbelievable and makes me proud of who I am. It makes me really, really proud of all of you. So I'm going to wait till the lawyers are ready to green light it. But I already told you part one of it a couple weeks ago. And the lawyer said, don't get into much detail. Just if you want to mention it, mention it. And I said, the Justice Department called up the federal court and the trustees in our limited bankruptcy and said, the head of the Justice Department and the president as policy says you must kick out his bankruptcy. And this is basically an order. It is the policy of the U.S. government, like I was a foreign country. Because the executive can only do that with foreign countries. They can't do it with a citizen.
Yeah. Doesn't sound so routine now, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biden's involved.
Biden called up Soros.
Called Merrick Garland on behalf of Soros.
Right. Naturally. And was like, hey, man, we got to get this shit done. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because only the executive can do this. All right. It went all the way up the flagpole and then all the way back down again.
It literally goes all the way to the top.
It does. Well, I mean, the top of America.
So I don't know. Like, let me break it down as simple as possible. What the United States trustee for this region of Texas did, so that you can understand what he did, so you can understand what we're talking about here. InfoWars LLC and the other entities that are on paper filed a bankruptcy petition for a small business bankruptcy, saying, "Hey, we want to use a bankruptcy for businesses that conduct a little business, but not a ton of business," is basically this category. And then after they did it, the United States filed what's called schedules. Schedules show what the entities hold, what business they do, what their revenue is, what they actually have. And the schedules they filed said, "We ain't got squat. We don't have anything. We have no assets. Zero. We got nothing. We don't do business." And they've always said we don't do business. And then the United States trustee files a brief and goes, "I'm not sure that this bankruptcy is appropriate for subchapter 5 because they don't appear to do any business. Because they said they didn't do any business. So we're not sure this is appropriate."
Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate their accommodating tone. The answer is fuck you.
Well, what I don't appreciate is Mark leaving out the step where Biden gets involved.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, exactly. Right. But yeah. I mean that's the thing here is that it's revealing to me I hear what y'all are saying when y'all think that Jones thinks in his mind there's these labyrinthine conspiracies and he's all of this. I still to this day believe that Jones just thinks that anytime he can take something and twist it to make it that he's a persecuted victim of some sort of U.S. government conspiracy, he'll do it. And I think he knows damn well that this was a stunt where they tried to do a double backflip and landed on their face. I think that he knows that.
Yeah.
He 100% knows that.
I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's sick. It's so sick to me to that he is absolutely priming up that audience. I mean, I'm the more I hear it right now, like I'm just – he knows what's coming. He knows that there's going to be a public trial. And like, so what's his one last option left? Like, start this crap. And well, it's going to get worse until –
it's
know.
Funny because like the last option seemed to be like this bankruptcy Hail Mary. And then it turns out, haha, no, now I'm being screwed out of my own bankruptcy.
Yep.
It's like there's always another hat that he's got to put on. Mm-hmm. It's pretty – I mean, if it wasn't so annoying and evil, I think it would be pretty remarkable as a spectacle.
You know, he does say he needs to get a green light from his lawyer, so I definitely want to encourage that to happen. Go ahead, give the green light, guys, whatever the hell it is.
I finally got that $1 million to pay that bounty on a judge that I called for last time. So I got the green light from my lawyers.
Bounty was on Chris Meddy. No, he's a lawyer,
not a judge.
Yeah. Though, so, I mean, like, here's the thing, though, is Jones is on notice. He knows that the FBI had to get involved because there were people making threats against the judge in Connecticut on his website. He knew that. And that's been in orders of the court. He's known about down here in Texas. There have been people making threats online about the judge. And we've had conversations with the courts about that. Like, he absolutely knows the environment that he's creating. And that's, to me, look, of course Jones is going to do that. I'm 100%. I know that's going to happen. But the more I hear these kind of things, the more I just cannot stand the kind of attorneys who would stand by and let this happen.
You have to look at this from a different perspective, and that is that Alex is a job creator.
Money!
A lot of these FBI agents who are having to provide security for these judges,
right?
You know, now they get a paycheck.
Do you want them out on the street protecting the houseless? No, of course not. You want them protecting rich and powerful people.
This wasn't a good attempt on my part to try and make a joke. I recognize that.
Yeah, because look, it is the truth. It isn't because when you're a Texas state judge, look, you've got the bailiffs in that building. That's who protects you. If you've got credible, actionable intelligence against you, you've got the Texas Rangers to go investigate something like that. And that's it. There's nobody coming to protect you. And in this particular courthouse, because they're kind of in an older courthouse, there is no secure way to enter the building. Right? Like, and this is – they all know that. This has all been discussed, right? And the more that Jones creates the impression that the entire – not just – look, if he wants to say that I am like – you know, involved in some sort of Bohemian Grove conspiracy with George Soros. I don't care. I don't. Just keep whatever. But the fact that he keeps directing it at these courts, because what I think I'm hearing him say in these clips is that a U.S. bankruptcy judge is in on this conspiracy. And like, fuck you. That's the last person in the world you can actually get in on a conspiracy. That is that's just insane.
I mean, if you want to look at the points of this conspiracy, we got Soros, we got Biden, we got Merrick Garland and the entire DOJ.
Yeah.
We got the bankruptcy judge. We have the U.S. trustee. We have Mark. We have the lawyer. It's pretty much
What's great about it, once again, not us. We're not mentioned anywhere, just left out of it.
You'd think we would play into this conspiracy somehow.
We would be part of the conspiracy. Yeah. God damn it. We know you.
Oh, well.
Well, what are you going to do?
One day we'll get mentioned.
I hope so.
Probably
someday.
Not.
No, doubt it.
Probably not. So Alex does mention the trustee letter. And this next clip is one of the reasons why I kind of think that that's mostly the document that he's talking about.
Let's see
what you all think.
And so I said that on air. We have the documents and everything now. I'm going to do a whole report on it soon and build it up because it's huge national news, international news. And then this new thing, I have the name of the law firms, the documents, Soros, the money, everything. And we're just going to really put it together in powerful articles and reports and put it out very, very soon.
So soon.
But if you want to see what I was talking about earlier, just type in Justice Department opposes Alex Jones's bankruptcy. You ever heard of a Justice Department getting involved in my access to the federal courts?
Yeah, I have.
Because I can't fight all these show trials and all these lawsuits anymore. So I say, okay, we'll do an emergency reorganization.
That's not what you did.
That shows you how scared they are.
You're not scared.
So scared.
You're not scared.
So scared. I hear fear. That's what I hear from you, Mark.
Yeah.
I like the pretending that his bankruptcy attempt was sincere, though, in there.
Yeah, it's just a reorganization of his business. Exactly.
I mean, the problem with his conclusion here, though, is that he should be able to reach the other conclusion of that as well, which is when you ask the question, have you ever seen the Justice Department intervene in a bankruptcy trial? The answer is, that's how much of an asshole you are.
Sure, and I don't know that the answer is no, because isn't the U.S. trustees part of the Department of Justice?
Isn't that their job?
I mean, look, he kind of has an independent service to that bankruptcy court, which is to act as a neutral third party observer whose only duty is to the bankruptcy code itself. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he's not like, it's interesting. He's not like the Solicitor General at the Supreme Court, right, who is there to argue the government's position policy wise as to a certain outcome of a decision. He is there to try to argue what the government's position is as if he was representing the bankruptcy code itself. And to make recommendations as to whether – I mean he's almost like a briefing attorney for the court itself. Hey, we have a lot of expertise in the bankruptcy code. We're going to try to give our neutral position on what the bankruptcy code says. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that the position that the U.S. trustee took in this case was aggressive for the U.S. trustee's normal position. Because
again, that's how much of an asshole he is.
Right, because this bankruptcy was a sham from the start. But look, the problem is that everybody kind of – the reality is, this is why I say bankruptcy is stupid, is everybody kind of knew that. Everybody knew that the point of the bankruptcy was stupid. That's not what it was actually for. And this isn't frowned upon. This isn't frowned upon in the bankruptcy world. What this was a stop of all the trials. And if it hadn't have been done on the absolute eve of trial, it might not have even been that dirty. But to stop all the trials and then basically have a settlement offer that is almost a compelled that everybody has to stop, take a breath, and look at it and see if you're going to accept it. And the way they do that is trap you in that bankruptcy court for a little while, for a couple weeks, maybe even a couple months, depending on how much discovery gets to be done. But the problem here is that they did that, and then their planned funding agreement was absolutely ridiculous. They basically wanted every one of these plaintiffs on all of the cases to walk away with a couple $100,000. And to do that on the assurance that Jones would in the future continue to contribute funds to a bankruptcy settlement over the year, which means basically like you've got to let Jones go out there and be a proto-fascist madman and let him make money so he can give it to you in the future.
Yeah,
while all at the same time, look, here's the problem with all of this. We know for a fact that there is $25 million that Jones has sitting in a family trust. We know for a fact that there is PQPR, who it now claims free speech already owes $53 million to and has been collecting all sorts of money. Been paying it $11,000 a month for all this damn time. Like, there is a person who has all of this money and doesn't want to expose it to a federal bankruptcy court, doesn't want to go into proceedings, and wanted to make that offer. And when that fell apart, everybody knew from the start it was dumb. But yeah, they got to disrupt their trial, and then who the hell knows what comes next. But none of this, absolutely none of this, had to do with some sort of nefarious play in the bankruptcy court or even Jones losing. This was a, hey, will you take this? Oh, no, I guess we're done. That's it. That's the whole damn thing. And to have Jones spinning this like it's a part of this whole coordinated thing that – I don't know. He's been real apocalyptic recently between this and the Roger Stone thing, thinking
You know, he's apocalyptic on some days, and when he gets a million in Bitcoin, a little less
he's
apocalyptic.
He's usually nicer, yeah.
Yeah, his mood brightens a little bit whenever he gets $1 million randomly from a mysterious anonymous donor.
It's a nice day.
Yeah.
That was me. I just want to be up front. That was me. Yeah. I transferred that money to his wallet. I just felt
playing
like
both sides of the game, as usual,
I wanted to even things out, you know? I felt his hat was running a little high.
Again, this
I smelled it coming. I knew crypto was about to crash. I just wanted to offload the shit out of it. I get a tax write-off, actually, so it's all really good. It's good stuff.
Again, this is a bold move they don't teach at law school.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah.
Give Jones all your Bitcoin and then have it crash. Up front, I actually made a call to George Soros and asked him to make Bitcoin crash, and he said yes. So that's why we're in the situation we're in.
So in that clip there, when he said like the DOJ opposes the bankruptcy, that's what I was talking about earlier.
Right.
That is an article about the trustee letter.
Here's the deal is he says the new stuff, right? He talks about this bankruptcy
DOJ
stuff. That there's law firms, Dan, there's law firms and he's got the names. There's going to be powerful articles. We see how that shit works. Kit Daniels is already tapping away on it. Which is interesting because he used to say if you can't get an article out in 24 hours, there's no point in writing it. That was his whole
In the deposition.
But no,
the
audience doesn't care. Ever since you've had that episode, and suddenly it hit me like a lightning bolt while listening to your thing on that, of like saying, no, you can't. The shooting by that point, you're talking about following up on a story. It's like 7 days old. Nobody cares about a 7 day old shooting. I'm like, why the hell are you talking about Sandy Hook in 2015 then? 2017? Like, the excuse that they used for that was so hysterical to me. But the idea that right now there is somebody in InfoWars having to tap out a story about what this big thing, I hope it comes out. I don't know what – I mean, like, again, I'm of two minds. On one hand, I'm hoping it comes out because I know it's silly.
Buddy,
I don't because people are so –
Buddy, I hate to say this to you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be happy.
There's so many – I've eaten so many sour grapes over the course of this podcast. I can't imagine this being satisfying in any way. But we do wish you the best. And
telling me there won't be a season two of Firefly? Come on. I know you're going to do it.
So we're going to jump off the lawsuit situation for this next clip. This is a fun clip where Alex comes in from break, and he also wishes everyone a happy Mother's Day.
Newtonian physics teaches us that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
Is that what it teaches us?
There is not just evil in the universe. There is good. And I am extremely blessed and honored to be with this amazing crew and all the viewers and listeners tonight on Mother's Day in defense of the human family and our attempt to carry out God's will.
Yeah, I would love that music behind, like, he's like talking about Newtonian physics. I would just love if that was behind me and I'd be like, So Katoa tells us that the sine of a triangle is equal to the opposite over the hypotenuse.
Archimedes says if you get in a bath, stuff will happen.
Yeah, just nice science lessons about physics and stuff over a hot beat.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know y'all probably heard that Alex Jones folk music remix and all of that, where he's doing the folk song and they use Alex Jones lyrics.
I have complex feelings about that.
I don't know. Exactly. Has anybody ever said that to us?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, listening to Alex Jones over Daft Punk is creepy as shit. God, that's dystopian. That is weird. And he's talking about Mother's Day over Daft Punk Tron soundtrack. And I'm like, I don't know. Everything about that's creepy.
I appreciate that you can pick out what that is, because I can never tell. I can never tell what most of his music is. I just don't have as good of a sort of Rolodex in my head. But
it's not 90s hip hop from St. Louis.
That makes multiple songs from the Tron 2 soundtrack that he uses as bumper music. So that's fun.
Look, I'm telling you that soundtrack is astonishing. I mean, I'm a Daft Punk fan, and I just want to take a detour for a second to say that, like, every Daft Punk album is its own thing, but that's a fucking music score. God damn, that thing is good. I'll out myself, on more than one occasion played that entire soundtrack to tap out a brief or some shit. That is some excellent focused mind music. But then to hear Alex Jones perverting it in that,
perverting the beauty of the Tron soundtrack.
You will never listen to the Tron soundtrack again think about Newtonian physics.
Yep.
I've watched a lot of Owen Shorer clips over the years, and I've noticed he's really partial to Imagine Dragons, which totally tracks, 100% tracks for Owen Shorer.
But
with
nuts.
Jones, it's weird how you can actually chart the departure of different key crew members by how the soundtrack info changes over the years. It's really funny.
And when he was like fully in control, it was like a bunch of this old country, like Amarillo by Morning.
Oh yeah, we used to listen to the Highwaymen every Stallion. Day during the 2015 investigation. It was nonstop.
And also Harrison Smith on the American Journal, he plays some wild music.
Yeah, Ride of the Valkyries. Yeah. No. He's a big Wagner guy.
Less that. There's more like a lot of shockingly modern kind of stuff. It's very bizarre. So this next clip, Alex gets into talking about abortion rallies and how he goes and he sees demons at them.
Sure.
Which we know.
Yes.
He is not changing his tune now that this Supreme Court decision opinion has been leaked.
I first, 25 years ago, have a friend named George Woolley, who's a big pro-life Catholic activist. And he said, why don't you just not criticize abortion on air? Why don't you come out and see it for yourself? So I went out to Planned Parenthood probably 15 times or so, done it more than that since then. And people would walk up and say, Satan will get the children, off camera and sometimes on camera. And I would have black people walk up to me, particularly.
Even black
people?
Worked
there, worked around there. They'd say, nobody wants these black babies. You going to take some? We're going to get rid of these bad people. How about Uncle Tom's to the death? They were it. And then over the years, we caught it ourselves on tape. When I say hundreds, thousands of times, hell, Owen caught it hundreds of times. The 3-hour report he put out just yesterday.
Yeah, so apparently Owen was out at a rally, a pro-choice rally,
right?
And he caught hundreds of instances
of
people being demons and hissing about how no one wants black babies
and carrying books by Harriet Beecher Stowe around. Apparently, Jesus Christ,
yeah. I feel like if this stuff was really accurate in any way, which I don't think it is, I'll just be clear about that. If it was, Alex would not have the exact same examples for 20 fucking years on his show.
Yeah, that's a little bit,
There would be stories that aren't exactly the same as the ones he was telling in like 2005, 2006.
So weird. They haven't changed up their tactics, demons. That's the problem with
them. True, true. It's very old school.
I mean, they've been around for several thousand years.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's – like it will happen from time to time that some either person going into Planned Parenthood or defending Planned Parenthood from counter protesters, from religious fundamentalists, will troll them by like throwing up a Gene Simmons tongue in the demon's underwear. Like that will happen. But the way that it was described by Jones in this clip is like, so I don't know, the pathology of like his interior fantasy mind is an interesting place. It is a terrifying place, but it is an interesting place. It is.
Yeah,
I've never seen somebody who reveals themselves on their sleeve so much. It's fascinating.
It's really hard to tell how much of it is sincere and it is like his perceptual distortions of like the things that he's taking in as stimulus, and how much of it is kind of just like storytelling and like lying. Like he usually does.
Just regular old lying.
Yeah. I don't know how much of it is like dramatization of stuff that he's doing intentionally and how much is like,
you know what? Okay,
he sees demons hissing at him.
I feel like I've had an epiphany about Jones recently. So like cue up the holy angelic music or whatever. But like, I
do you mean
like
the Tron soundtrack?
Tron soundtracks, track two. Go ahead and put that on.
The grid.
I feel like I've always struggled with this idea of first it was, does Jones believe what he say? Does he not believe what he say? Does he ever what it's the package of this is Jones figured out there's a basic rough approximation, and that if you contain in whatever you're talking about at least about 25% of the truth, you're free to run as wild as you fucking want. As long as you've got that core nugget of 25% truthfulness, some sort of thing, an anchor that you can anchor all the bullshit onto, you can fly that kite as fucking far as you want with no accountability. But the moment you lose that 25% of fucking core truth, you are toast. And that is Sandy Hook. That is the lesson he learned. And unfortunately, that's why just learning that lesson will never stop him. He has to be forcibly stopped, because he learned the lesson that if you go that far into bullshit, if you're that easily toppled as a house of cards, you're going to get into trouble. But if you always have that 25%.
Buddy, if you think he learned anything, you're going to be disappointed.
I think that I might agree with Jordan about. But I think that conceptually I agree with you. That like you have to have some anchor to reality, and then you can just run wild with nonsense. But what I would disagree with is the 25% number. That seems very
maybe that is generous.
Yeah,
that is generous. It reminds me of the Kit Daniels deposition when Bill asked him to rate his article on a scale of 1 to 10, and he's like, I think a 2, and Bill's like, really, a 2? You got a? And Kit's like, yeah, no, there were some mistakes in it, so I think. And Bill's like, no, you got 2. Like they have an overestimation of where they're, and I do think you're right. Maybe that number's like at about 5.
If you
find a news article that has one thing, and then that gives you the tether to which,
and it might even just be the appearance of 5%. It might not even be a hard 5%.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has learned his lesson as much as we would like to think. I think that maybe some of the lessons are there. I think it's probably not devoid of lessons.
Right.
But I think...
Well, these clips we're listening to would lead me to suggest that maybe no, he has not. So, no.
Right. Just maybe don't say defamatory things about non-public persons.
Right.
That's the lesson that he's learned.
Here's what I will say, Mark. Here's something that I think you will be very happy about is... I put it at probably an 80% chance that he implies Sandy Hook did not happen at the trial. So
he did in the deposition.
He did in the deposition. 100%. He's going to do it again. So
he implied it was a hoax twice
in the deposition. It's going to be even better on the stand.
See, no, that's the wonderful thing. And I think a lot of people don't get that about depositions, right? Is they just think it's like, oh, it's just like testimony at trial, but it's in a deposition. No. And we've done a lot of strange things in deposition. And it's because that testimony is never to be played at trial. When it's the defendant themselves, right? You're not playing that testimony, but it locks them the fuck in. So you're right. He has to either one way bite that or not. Either he has to come to trial and say, yeah, there's still – Sandy Hook is bullshit.
I still have questions.
Or I've locked you in. What you're testifying now is not what you just testified to that Sandy Hook – you know, like you're kind of fucked at that point. You're locked into it. And
he now has
100%
to,
he's going
to
do that.
He has to argue that there are still anomalies.
Yep. Totally. He's gonna be like, did you? Cooper's nose, and then it's just gonna fall apart. There's gonna be balloons that fall from the ceiling. People are gonna be popping poppers. Like, he did it! Yeah.
You're still acting under this assumption in this world where Alex Jones is going to show up to his trial and testify. And those are two assumptions, one after another, that I'm not sure
brave,
either of them is.
And he's just waiting for his day to clear his name in open court.
Once he's there.
Because I keep hearing this of like, oh, they're just afraid for the evidence to really come out. What evidence are you fucking talking about? Or to be like... Oh, you're going to suddenly blow the lid off Sandy Hook 10 years later. Like, fuck you. Like, what are you literally talking about?
Soros is really afraid.
I honestly think
one of the big reasons they pulled this bankruptcy stunt and stopped this trial is because they were all just staring around at each other like the moment is finally here and had no fucking idea what they were going to do in that courtroom. None. And so they were like, well, we can do this. That buys us another little time.
Yeah, punt a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to our episode, because we're going to as you probably know, Mark, already, and I'll spoil this for Jordan, we got Bobby Barnes coming up in a little bit. So we'll talk more about the actual case, but we have to skip aside a little bit because Alex was talking about the abortion protest.
Yes.
And that was kind of some of his way of talking about some of his religiosity.
Sure.
Certainly.
Sure.
And he says this, and I think that this is actually kind of a rebuttal of his the notion that he's kind of tolerant about people who are have different religious ideas than him.
And so you don't want to be turned into these creatures. You don't want to deny the connection to the infinite. Because when you deny God's spirit and God's open hand, you then accept by choice all that rejected God. And that's not a spiritual group you want to be associated with. You do not want to be with that. You want to say no. And you want to take God in.
Yeah, so if you you know, if you don't agree to join up with God as Alex defines it, you have chosen by will to be a part of demons.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't join up with Alex's specific brand of lunatic Christianity, then you accept responsibility for every other problem that's ever happened.
It certainly doesn't paint a good light in terms of like being able to live in a pluralistic society where people have different religious beliefs. Seems like you would be defining every other religion as being a rejection of God.
Sure. No, I mean, yes, you do walk by, say, a mosque in your city and you claim that all that goes on in there is demonic worship. But that doesn't mean you can't hang out with them.
I think Alex is a short jump away from not hanging out with
them. I think he might be a short jump away. You're probably right on that one. That's not good.
Yeah, that's troubling.
Look, I don't want to be critical, but I've never heard two guys sitting around talking more revealing themselves as being out of touch with the doors of the infinite, just like Mr. Jones is talking about.
That's true. That's true. I was successfully sued in the courts of heaven. It was it was brutal. I lost 16 soul dollars.
My hang up with any cult leader is like, you're out here acting like I ain't messing around with the infinite and the doors of perception. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about, Alex. Like, the idea here is like, because this shit actually flows off the tongue from Rogan, right? Back when Rogan was in his prime and he was really like being an utter freakonaut, like, because that's what's so strange about Jones's new televangelism term is that it seems to combine a bunch of like, New Age doors of perception BS with a lot of like the high place of the kingdom of heaven. Like he's basically equating of his own religious thing with Joe Rogan doing DMT or some stuff. Like it is really weird to me to hear this shit from Jones.
It's like, almost like a Christian identity zealot read a bunch of science fiction novels when he was a kid and he thinks they're real.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody's been telling me that if this man gets chased off the media, he's going to make a hard right turn into L. Ron Hubbard. I'm like, look, he's already had that kind of gig. He's already been heading that direction for years.
I don't know how different that would be, honestly. I mean, right, he already has
tell
a boat.
What that looks like. Yeah, exactly.
So in this next clip, we get an update on some media. I don't know if you are somebody who keeps up with former members, cast members of Saturday Night Live.
Sure. Which ones?
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers? No, I don't really keep up with him. I'm more of a Leghorn. Cleghorn. I'm an Ellen Cleghorn.
I thought you were going to say a Foghorn Leghorn.
I'm a Foghorn Leghorn guy.
I know what he's about to talk about. And I caught that on Netflix. My wife and I watched that the other night for the first time. And he did a bunch of characters. And I'm going to tell you. The show in a whole wasn't great, but god damn, that couple minutes was something else. So I'm excited to hear what Alex's reaction is to that.
I'm excited to hear your review after this clip.
Mike Myers has got a new movie out, and it's also on Netflix. I got a bunch of calls about it, called The Pentaverate, making fun of the Illuminati. He attacks me quite a bit in the movie, and I thought we would just show how desperate these folks are.
So they're real desperate.
Yeah, absolutely.
He plays a clip of it, and it's Mike Myers playing this this Alex Jonesy character.
Wait, before we go into that, when he says the folks are so desperate, is he talking about Mike Myers and the cast of and the crew and the producers of that show? Is he talking about me, or is he talking about both of us? Oh, under George Soros, like it's all of us together.
You betcha.
If I'm getting credit here for this show, I just want to be honest.
Yeah, you're part of the conspiracy that now involves Mike Myers.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had any hand in getting the show made, that's cool.
If I'm in an evil conspiracy and Mike Myers shows up, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's the wrong Mike Myers. I was looking for the
was looking for the one with the sword and shit.
If Mike Myers shows up and we're doing some sort of nefarious plan, I would say, get in my conspiracy.
I mean, we had a good run on this show, Dan. Yeah. I think we did it.
So I'm glad that you've watched this, Mark, because I haven't. And my thought when I heard this clip was like, I study this kind of stuff, and I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is the big broadside attack that Alex thinks it is, and I think that it's more just that he's really easy to make fun of.
Yeah.
It's flattering if you think about it. It's like it's acknowledgement of his cultural icon status. I mean, it's obviously pejorative, but on some level, like any sane sort of like if this is Tucker Carlson, he loves it. He laughs it off on his show, but not Jones. Yeah. This is an attack by the George Soros Illuminati.
Yeah, like this and like J. Jonah Jameson and the Spider-Man, like it is a recognition of like how translates to people like they get this as a thing.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
He fucking hates this stuff, though. I don't know if you remember during all my depositions, he used to just obsess about Homeland, a show nobody even watches anymore. And they had this Homeland character who was Alex Jones. It was some really broad, bad imitate. But like, he was obsessed that this was some deep state thing to demonize. Like, nobody fucking cares. This is some dumbass writer in California who was like, let's put an Alex Jones character on there. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, it's not complicated. I think that he was obsessed with that for a little while.
Yeah, and it's flattering. Come on, like
I think he claims that he's the basis of the X-Files.
He is both X-Files, both X and Files.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So as promised earlier, we have an old buddy, showing up. Mm-hmm. It's someone I believe, Mark, you've actually been in a room with. That, of course, is Bob Barnes.
Good work, Barnes himself.
I'm gonna be in there. I mean, like, look, my universe has not stopped crossing with Bob Barnes. I'll be in the room with him in the future shortly. So
please do not give him our best.
It's interesting because he departed off of this case in a hurry. He skedaddled really quick once he got in some hot water. But it's funny because somehow he became back in Jones' graces, despite the fact that Jones's corporate representative testified that they're considering suing Barnes for malpractice along with Mark Randonza. And it's like, I don't think Barnes knows this. So maybe I'm telling tales out of school. Nobody go and tell Bob Barnes, who can be found at barnesllp.com, I'm pretty sure. But like, don't go tell him that like they're threatening to sue him for malpractice while he's being on the show. And in fact, what's funny is if you look at the InfoWars LLC bankruptcy assets that they claim, one of the few assets that they do claim they have is a potential malpractice claim that, hey, we might get money in the future because we might sue our lawyers for how badly they bungled this case. Yeah, and it's funny because so Barnes got the hell out and I think he thought he was free with me. But the interesting part is I got involved in the case where Tucker Carlson's Daily Caller had done a years-long defamation smear scheme against some Pakistani IT workers in the house, basically trying to frame them DNC hack.
This is the
Imran Aran.
Wasserman Schultz, is that
who they Wasserman Schultz was. And what's so funny about this is, unless you're like a following fan of this show or like a hardcore into following right wing conspiracy stuff, you don't know who Imran Narwan is. You have no idea who that is. But if you follow like right wing media, if you've got right wing Twitter accounts, you've got Dan Bajingo, Ben Shapiro, all that, you know exactly who that is.
Alex was big into that a while back too.
Yep. I think he was a little careful on that, partially because at that time, the people who were pushing like Regnery Publishing and Salem and Daily Caller and some of the people who were pushing reporting by a guy named Luke Rosiak were trying to be a little more of the highbrow, high class InfoWars. And they were a little bit in conflict with each other. They didn't run in quite the same circles. Yeah, it was a very pretentious InfoWars. So I got involved in that case. We sued Daily Caller. We sued Salem and Regnery. And then we also sued the reporter, this guy who wrote this book about them and did all the reporting. This guy's named Luke Rosiak. Well, Daily Caller actually kind of at that point had soured on Rosiak or something. They didn't want to represent him or for whatever reason. And so surprise, surprise, when I get a notice of appearance from old Bobby Barnes representing Luke Rosiak in this case.
Beautiful.
And we just defeated the anti-slap motion in that case, so we're about to start taking discovery. So in a very short timeline, I'm going to be back in a room with Bob again.
Could you say Could you say good work, Barnes, to him and see if his eyes go sad?
Or yeah, actually, you know, boy, it's Bill and him are the, really the ones who really got into it in deposition. And yeah. Bill used that as a real good strategy because Barnes was there to look good. He was there for publicity. You take that away from him, yeah. his motivations in the case evaporate.
Let me ask you a quick question here about Barnes. In person, off mic, does he ever stop talking?
Yes. Like, okay, yes.
Because on the mic, he will string 30 fucking sentences together without ever taking a pause.
Nope.
Just doing these aggressive yeah. breathing.
Look, I'm not going to be one who talks shit about that because listen to me on your show. I never shut the fuck up. I just talk and talk and talk and talk. But what's interesting about Barnes is he was – so we had a moment where he had been saying a bunch of shit about me on air on InfoWars because I had just taken Jones' deposition. Jones had unsuccessful – he had failed in – he neglected to get that sealed. And so I published it online way back in 2019. And everybody was glowing about it at the time. And Barnes was pissed as hell. So he got on Jones' show and said a bunch of shit about me. And a lot of it was really like – arguably could put me in danger, right? And so I confront him about it in the courtroom. I'm like, look, you come in here, you want to play this big show and have a bunch of fun on InfoWars, do what you want, but take my name out your fucking mouth, man. Like, I ain't – George Soros ain't funding the suit. Like, me and Kyle funded the suit. Like, this is funny money to us. This is not a big thing. Like, take us out of this. And he was so demure, and he's such a passive kind of shrinking violet in mm-hmm. person until you finally push him long enough, and he has a little freak out, and he runs out of the courtroom yelling. But it's weird how his personality, he is so conflict averse person to person. He's like this big, he's like the Kool-Aid man on InfoWars. Like you'd think he's like he's ready to bust through walls and shit. And
wait,
like,
are you telling me that Robert Barnes is a coward who hides behind a TV screen in order to say things that he would never have the courage to say to somebody's face? That's crazy to me.
Well, look, whether he is or not.
Yeah.
We only have him today behind a TV screen.
True.
So we may only hear blustery stuff. So we may just need to get ourselves in that sort of state of mind, get ourselves ready to deal with Barnes as a blustery blowhard.
Right.
Are we ready?
I put myself, mindset's ready. I got my.
Does that mean you're going to play open? You Belong to the City first?
No.
Okay.
We will enter the headspace of InfoWars Barnes. Here is Alex giving him an introduction, and we'll see what he wants to discuss as this interview begins.
This is an incredible time in history, Robert Barnes, and I haven't talked to you since earlier today in text saying, could you come on? And I just said, just please come on, because you can obviously talk about all these issues. You're just like I am and our listeners are. You've got your head in the game. What do you want to hit on first? What is most important?
I think it's a great premiere, the film 2000 Mules. I think that details what we talked about all the way back in Atlanta, Georgia, in November of 2020.
Yeah, so he doesn't actually immediately want to talk about any of Alex's legal trouble, which you kind of assume is why Alex texted him and is like, I need you to get
what you would think.
Yeah. No, I want to
talk about what the fuck is... What is 20,000 Mules? What the fuck is that?
It's Dinesh D'Souza's new
stop talking. I don't care. Yeah. Okay.
It's his new dumb documentary about how they used like geolocation data to prove that 2,000 people were responsible for dropping off a ton of ballots. There's all kinds of like really obvious flaws in the way that they're just putting together an argument.
In Dinesh D'Souza's documentary, there are obvious fucking flaws.
You
God
wouldn't think. He has such a good track record, according to Alex. Yeah.
It would have been a really great documentary if they just put the camera on them trying to stack 2,000 mules on top of each other. That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
How would you do that? Would you get bigger platforms? Like, I don't know. The weight would be insane.
I'm just like having to watch, like being fed a Dinesh D'Souza documentary on the recommendation of Alex Jones is the most human caterpillar shit I can possibly imagine. Like that is
especially
considering let's move on from that.
For most of his career, I'm pretty sure Alex would have been staunchly opposed to Dinesh D'Souza as like a neocon. Know, man.
Just as a matter of course, yeah.
It's like a mainline conservative hack.
Strange Bedfellows is an understatement for the transformation of that fucking party, man, because there's some weird shit going on.
I feel like as soon as you get a pardon from Trump, you're in. You got the pass.
Yeah. Mark of approval. God. Okay.
So, all right. So yeah. That documentary. So
Barnes doesn't want to talk about the legal things. He wants to talk about 20,000 mules. All right. Whatever.
At least for now, yes. Okay. So, right. The documentary itself is about sort of manual, the manipulation of vote counts.
Manual manipulation.
So it's about people going around and actually physically putting ballots in.
Right.
As opposed to so many of the other...
As opposed to Hugo Chavez changing the Dominion machines, right?
Yeah.
This is a different thing. Oh, gotcha.
As opposed to that. And now we know from listening to Alex's show, as much as we have since the election, Alex was very big into the electronic voting conspiracy.
Oh, totally. It was all electronic.
He was funded for a little while by Mike Lindell, yep. who was... a giant proponent of
he even said at one point like we have to have paper ballots in order to maintain the integrity of the elections
because of all the electric stealing.
Yeah.
Now here's what Alex has to say now that Dinesh D'Souza's documentary has come out.
For me, Barnes, let me interrupt you, which I'm famous for. Let me interrupt you and start over because I didn't know you bring up this new film. For those that don't know, tell us where it is, who made it, what it covers, and the fact that Fox is saying they're not going to air it now, even though it's totally documented. And as you said, the electronic scam was the deep state red herring, which you were proven right about when you were all over the country for Trump, proving it was mules voting multiple times, harvesting the fake ballots, filling them in and entering them. That's now been proven. You have been totally vindicated. We're not putting down other people that wanted to go with the electronic thing and all that BS.
Like you.
They're not bad people. Let's just admit they got conned and move on to how they really did it.
So, Alex, you're admitting you got conned.
Let's admit that they got conned.
No, Alex is admitting he got conned, right?
No, this is genius. I've seen this develop. This is the new thing. If you're wrong, this has started back in Pizzagate. It's a honeypot. It's a red herring. You were wrong, but it's only because the deep state tricked you. It's only because they set up some shit to get you. It's not really your fault. Like, you're still on the right track. And you're going to miss a few times, right? You're going to miss 1,000 times, but for every 1,000 times, there's a Jussie Smollett, and you're right, just because you're a racist, right? Like, there's it's all this shit. Like, you just got fooled. The idea now that Dominion was a fucking honeypot.
It's a red herring.
Oh, my God. Just a red herring misdirection.
This is the exact same thing that they did with the birth certificate, with Obama's birth certificate. Yep. They're like, the Kenya thing was a misdirection that they put out in order to get us because they knew that we would be racist and take the bait on that.
Right.
When the reality is that they were trying to cover up that his dad is Frank Marshall Davis.
Yeah. Despite the fact that this essentially proves that they are what they say that they're denying.
Gullible and racist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, how could you get us on this?
Look, Jones isn't the only person who wiped the Pizzagate shit off his shoe by saying the same stuff, right? Like, that I was fooled on 4chan. Like, it's the same. Okay. So now it's paper. Okay, paper ballots. So you got to keep the paper ballots out of the hands of the Soros operatives. I understand.
Well, we do need paper ballots, though, I guess. I mean, but Barnes has a solution that he offers, and that is you need these paper ballots, but you also need a specific practice to be used.
That was why we always said you need to do a signature match check. Because if you did a signature match check, you'd be able to prove that a lot of these ballots were illegal. And that's why no state to this day has done a signature match check on these ballots.
That's absolutely not true. Okay. Barnes is just lying out of his ass trying to promote these stupid mules. Different states have different guidelines, but almost all of them have some sort of signature matching as a part of their vote verification, often done by computer software. According to a 2020 article in the New York Times, 1.4% of all mail-in ballots were rejected in the 2018 election because of signature mismatches. Barnes is just straight up lying.
Yeah.
And the states that they scream about the most about being stolen in the 2020 election, like Michigan and Arizona, they have signature matching requirements in place already. Barnes is fixing a non-existent problem.
I really feel like we've got Pechenik coming down the pipeline and it's going to go right back to him and be like, listen, Alex, they were watermarked, and now we got to double watermark the next ones.
Well, I will say that Roger's conspiracy about the
North Koreans,
the
North Vietnamese,
North Korean boats coming into Maine is not. Roger Stone believed that there were North Korean boats that ended up in Maine.
In Maine, yes.
Kim Jong-il.
Wait, stop. Boats?
No,
or
no,
boats?
No, no, no. boats. Yeah. Filled with boats. Boat
got
boats.
You. Filled yeah, with boats. Got you. Boats love our boats. Beautiful boaters, folks. I can't say anything bad about the North Korean boaters. They're beautiful people. They love boating. I love it. Okay. They landed in Maine. That's awesome.
Yes, and that's where them. A lot of the fake votes came from, according to Roger Stone.
No, he got, fucking shit. I was like, the boats turned into votes? No, come
the
on.
Boats were okay. Full of votes.
Okay, let me give, you, let me give you a complete rundown. Of
I thought
how
this was some basic
United
human
States
trafficking
election was stolen. Okay, what
good
happened was
God, what?
Biden and the Democrats realized they didn't have enough votes, so they
I knew that. Yeah, I
contracted
got that
the North Koreans who could not fly because there are too many votes to fit in one plane. It would just go
right
down.
Right.
So they got on boats.
Yeah.
Filled with bags and bags of watermarked ballots.
Right.
Then sailed. Directly from North Korea to Maine, the United States.
Yeah, and see, I can clear this up. I see the confusion that's happening here. And okay, then Mark, you're thinking that these boats came with people to vote fraudulently.
Uh-uh.
But that is not the case.
Nope.
It was paper.
Paper ballots.
Paper that was in the boat.
It was bags of paper ballots.
Yeah, it's,
Why?
To steal the election.
Why?
Because Roger was bored one day on InfoWars.
Basically, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay. No, wow.
But my point is that that boat theory is not incompatible with the 200 mules.
No, true.
Mules.
True. I know. That's what I'm saying. There's a we're bringing God. some back.
Yeah, we got to get D'Souza on this boat situation. See if he's
I'm
going
to be honest with you. Like, I've spent 4 years dealing with Alex Jones, mainly over a sort of like, you know, just mainly on the Sandy Hook stuff, but a little periphery. I'm not sure I was ready for tonight. Jesus Christ. North Korean boats.
Yeah.
With votes.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we have just internalized and accepted as part of our fictional reality that freaks out even people who are somewhat.
Yeah, we're into it. Yeah. Yeah.
So here's where we get back in onto your
like,
side.
Hold on. Can I stop for a second? I don't mean to prolong your show.
Sure.
Like, what size boats are we talking? Like, are huge. They big boats and little boats? Like, huge. Like, well, actually, like, tankers? Like, did they go through the Panama Canal? Like, is that, or
they
is the
one
have
to,
I
think. See, this is, well, this
I,
is
I don't know. You could take the long way. I just, fuck.
I think, yeah, I would assume they sailed beyond Cape,
Cape of Good Hope. These ain't pontoons. These ain't like random groups. Like, they're just like, this ain't like Miami Vice drug smugglers of like fat speedboat. These are like real ass boats full to the brim with Biden votes.
See, this is where it gets a little bit sticky because Roger didn't specify about the size of boats.
True.
So you would assume it would be a big boat, but then you think like, no,
North
that would
Korea.
Be, but it would also be much easier to catch if it was a big boat.
True.
So maybe it's a fleet of small boats.
It's not,
little,
I mean,
tiny
it's obviously
boats.
Not
yeah.
like a North Korean destroyer going through the Panama Canal.
Right, exactly. I'm just thinking
not
like
a paddle boat either.
It's not a paddle boat either. No.
I'm just thinking you got to do small boats. It can't be a big one. If that motherfucker gets stuck in the Panama Canal like that one did in the Suez, you're fucked. It's got a giant amount of Biden votes in it. Everybody's going to find out. Like,
you
got to
throw them overboard. They melt in the water as paper does.
It's a drug smuggling. It's just like you throw a bunch of boats at the problem. You don't put all your Biden votes in one basket. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
you don't want to know where there's 2,000 North Korean mules put those ballots. That's all I'm telling you right now.
Is there something special about Maine? Is there some sort of idiosyncrasy to Maine law that which would allow North Korea to penetrate it with boat votes?
Don't think so. I think it was just randomly where Roger decided to say it landed.
I think he just saw a fire starter, maybe.
Maybe.
He's a big Stephen King guy.
If you ever get a chance to depose Roger, this will be something you could ask him.
Absolutely.
Believe me, it's been, oh, wow. Okay.
He may have all more specifics. So here, Mark, is where we get back to your side of the street, because we're going to get back into the actual bankruptcy case. And
good,
because
I'm feeling in over my head when it comes to boat votes. I just don't, I can't.
You don't know boat vote law?
I don't. Man, I'm swimming in this. There's some maritime issues there. I missed some of those days in law school. I checked the fuck out on those days.
Sovereign citizen law covers
boat votes.
So here is Alex starting up the conversation with Bobby.
I do follow Robert Barnes. I watch his show. He does every few days with another great lawyer. I follow his work. It's always informative. I learn stuff. But I saw you get into the Democratic Party funded lawsuits against me and really just expose what it was a few days ago. And I normally don't spend a lot of time covering what we're going through because listeners know it. They're supporting
rarely.
Us. But it's a blueprint for the future. And so, you know, I hired some big top law firms for our limited bankruptcy. And right after it started 2 weeks ago, they called me and they sent me transcripts. They said, we've never seen this before. We believe in the deep state now.
Whoa. They believe in the deep state now.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go. One case for the biggest law firms to just go like, man, deep state's real then.
He has pilled these law firms.
Damn. That is wild.
So now you are asking, you know, you want to know what these documents are. Now we have transcripts being brought up. So,
well, I know what transcripts he's talking about. He's talking about transcripts of the bankruptcy hearings, right? Like, they've gone down and they've been clown shows, right? Like,
that's probably a good assumption, but maybe he's talking about a transcript of a phone call,
a secret phone call
Biden.
No. We don't make transcripts of those. You don't understand. Those aren't done by transcript. Like, we don't.
They've always done that since Nixon. Nixon didn't choose to record everything. They've been recording since the very beginning. That's the trick.
No, you don't. You're not.
They got transcripts of everything.
We all have burner phones, all right? And, like, we have to go out in the woods and, like, we have to, like, it's a whole big production to even have one of these calls. Like, there are no transcripts.
I would love it if there was a, like, you know, with Nixon, the missing minutes in the tape.
Yeah.
They have that for Biden. This is just him calling this court and being like, you've got to
Fuck over Alex Jones.
Because I'm going to tell you, these bankruptcy lawyers, they're a different breed that he brought into. They get fed their stuff. They go do their thing. They got no real interest or anything in this. The idea that those guys are somehow red pilled now is hysterical to me. That is.
Yeah, that really, struck me really as funny. A little off.
It does seem weird to be like, oh man, I pilled my entire accountant's office. Like, wait, what? I'm sorry, what? What?
I find like kind of unbelievable because I think generally it's a profession that attracts people who are interested in details.
Yes.
And that's what Alex lacks.
He's a big fan of the opposite.
He's a big picture guy.
He's a picture guy. He's not really a small stuff kind of the deal.
Normally it's difficult to know who he's talking about because like the situation when Alex Jones says my lawyer, you can throw a dart at a board. You're not sure. True. Like who knows who the fuck he's talking about? Cause it's all over the place.
But I think it's more of the platonic ideal of a lawyer, you know, like my lawyer as a stand-in for, you know, it's synecdoche.
Cause I can guarantee you, look, these top law firms like whatever you hired for the bankruptcy, these guys, Rubio and Lee, like they're not believing in a deep state. They're doing their job. I mean, and when I say their job, I need to be a little more pejorative about that. They're a bankruptcy lawyer, so they basically exist to like suck the blood off of dying things. Like that's what a bankruptcy lawyer
meat
is,
off
right?
Bones,
like,
as it were.
Like, what you got to understand is that if Jones's plan or whatever this bankruptcy plan would work, hey, let's give some money to the plaintiffs. Well, the bankruptcy lawyers who made that happen would get some of that. They would bleed some of that off, and that's what they're there to do. And the moment they don't have that, they got no real interest in that. And the trustee of the company has all he cares about is the piece of paper that says InfoWars LLC on it. None of these people care. These people are red pilled. They don't care. And it's not, I don't know, it's Norm Pattis, but Norm Pattis has been awfully silent ever since he did that stand up routine.
Ooh,
that was
that hilarious stand up
routine. He was killing.
Wow. Did we talk about that on the show?
I don't think we did, beyond to note that it happened.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like that is a good point. Yeah, less.
So you've got,
less Pattis
you've got a guy now. You've got a new guy. You've got Aldino Reynal. Mm-hmm. And that guy is apparently running the ship right now. So if he's the guy who's red pilled, I guess he's the guy who's red pilled. But like,
the former U.S. Department of Justice guy?
Yeah, the Holder guy. Yeah, the Holder guy's red pilled, right? Like, no. Fuck, he's checked out too.
He was working in the Department of Justice. He didn't see any of the deep state. Alex says.
He's opened his eyes.
Look, I know of anybody I can be confident. Like all these other people, maybe they're out. Robert Barnes, that motherfucker's red pilled. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say because he's
definitely,
he understands what's going on. Yep.
Well, we have to get back into this, which Mark, you've already said you don't believe this, but I got to say, Alex has said it twice, so it's probably true.
We've had the Justice Department call and say the Biden administration says you're not allowed to support him.
Biden
they actually called the judge's lawyer, and they called the trustee's lawyers, who are retired, the former bankruptcy judge of Austin, and Schmidt, and Ooh. Said it's policy of the U.S. government, like I'm Russia, that he doesn't have what? Access to the courts. So that blew him away, and that actually woke him up.
I woke him up.
Blew him away.
So, yeah, the Biden administration called the lawyer of the judge.
Yep, the judge's lawyer.
Schmidt.
Yeah.
Do you know who Schmidt is?
Hold on. Back up here, because he said two things, and the second one really is freaky. Because the first one he said, like, let me make this really clear. There is a judge over the bankruptcy proceeding, and that's Judge Lopez, and who's – impartiality cannot reasonably be questioned because he has no control over his behavior. He runs his court how he wants to. Everybody who deals in federal court knows that when you go into a federal court, it's like going into a lion cage. Like that lion can devour you if it wants to. That's its cage.
Good.
Like it is.
What a great justice system.
Honestly, like the bankruptcy court's the only place I'd be afraid. Look, I ain't even in that court. I'm letting the professionals deal with that shit. I ain't walking into a goddamn lion cage. Fuck that. They can deal with that. So he's saying that guy has been threatened. When he's talking about Schmidt, he's talking about somebody very different. He is talking about a retired U.S. bankruptcy judge who they recruited, who the bankruptcy law firms recruited into being a trustee for InfoWars LLC. And I'm not exactly sure what his position is, but that's a guy who is like an insider now to InfoWars LLC. And he's there to make sure everything's kosher and there's no whatever. And now Jones is on air saying that guy has gotten a call from what, the Biden administration? Is that what he said? He said some crazy shit like that.
I think that's how I tracked that.
Can't support him. Like, yikes. I mean, look, all I'll say for Jones is saying this stuff. He better be glad this bankruptcy is over because that's wow.
It seems unwise to use a name too there.
Yeah.
When it was very unnecessary.
The guy could have just not used a name.
Look, and I don't know anything about former Judge Schmidt. I'm going to assume that he's a very righteous, upstanding guy, or you wouldn't be able to recruit
based on what you've described judges as. Fuck that guy. Look, fuck the bankruptcy judge. Fuck every judge. Fuck judges.
No. Look here, Jordan. Here's the deal: is that all these guys were schnookered into a situation of, hey, Jones has a way that he wants to try to make things right with the Sandy Hook parents. Let's see if we can make it happen and be the heroes and avoid a lot of acrimony and avoid a lot of trial. They were fed a load of bullshit, and they haven't been dealing with it for 4 years, so they don't fucking know. And the moment that everybody started to realize it was bullshit, this whole thing is dead in the water anyway. So I'd say in some ways, for as much as this process can work, the process worked. Obviously, it's shitty. It's not how it should have worked, but it worked. Everybody's getting off of this. But the
everyone survived
Jones,
the lion.
Jones is in there saying this shit about that's head spinning that he is going to say that my trustee has been called off.
Schmidt would be able to refute this.
Yeah, you could have him on the show.
Well, look, I'll tell you right now, he is not in contact with Schmidt. I know that 100%. That Schmidt is not talking with Alex Jones like that.
This whole idea
was to put it at arm's length, right?
It would be inappropriate if they were in communication, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so what he just said right there is, I just want to make it clear for your listeners. There is not the chance that there is malfeasance by former Judge Schmidt. That's not a thing that happened. What you're hearing right now is an outright lie and a complete contradiction of everything that I was arguing earlier, that Jones feels he needs 25% of the troops to say something, because he absolutely does not.
Well, I'm glad we've disabused you of that notion.
Yeah, man, that was a lot faster than I expected. Yeah. We got to you real quick on that one.
Now you have been pilled.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we pilled our lawyer!
So how much, Mark, would you guess that Soros has spent on the case that you're the lawyer for?
That's such a funny question. You know what? I'm not even going to give you like the glib whatever. It's about $4.99 and a pack of ribs or whatever. No, it's – it's funny because I'm usually involved in litigation that is kind of expensive. I do products liability litigation with my firm. And we, you know, to get a good products case to trial, like a defective product, is going to take a lot of expert testimony, a lot of things. It's really expensive. And it can run you almost as much as $250,000 to $500,000 to get a case to trial. Like that's how much it can cost. That's how much capital you got to be working with. And it is. And the thing is that in Jones's case, it's not quite as much. You don't have as much expert testimony. You don't have as much stuff. I'm a Texas lawyer. I'm in a Texas court. I'm not traveling all over the country all the goddamn time. Like it's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And I'll be really upfront because I want the Jones people to know I want them to understand this, that this case so far, soup to nuts, has cost me less than $110,000 to try, and that that money has been paid over more than three times by Jones himself. Like, we have already collected enough sanctions on him. We are now about $270,000 into him. He has paid for all of this. So there isn't a George Soros funding this, right? Like, we said, and look, I made the agreements with the parents. I said, look, if anti-slap fees are granted, if this motion to dismiss is granted, we're paying that. We're paying that all. And that could have, like, that in itself was a risk of loss. That's $250,000 risk of loss. Like, that's priced into what we're doing. And when I decided to do this, I was like, yeah, we're paying and everything up front. The fact that Jones has already put us in the red, yeah, we're just on vacation, right? Well, this is just a moment. We don't really – this is not something for the parents. Like, we're going to do whatever it takes to get the parents their day. And at this point, that's not a factor of cost. I don't need George Soros's help to do that.
Mark, I appreciate your perspective, and I understand that you're intimately involved with the case that you are conducting.
You would think.
However, yeah. I have – look, if what you're saying is true, you're making a lot off this Soros money, because Alex is he's going to cite a figure in this next clip that
will surprise you.
Yeah, if you've made a profit on Alex's sanctions, you're very rich.
How right, big is it that Soros isn't even trying to hide this? And to me, this is a major rallying point. Why are they? Because I know we have a big show and a great audience and great guests, but. Why are they so obsessed that we now have evidence that's going to come out soon of over $10 million spent by Soros to do this? What does he think that's going to look like when all that comes out, and that they're now openly trying to threaten bankruptcy federal judges? I mean, these people, I guess they know they control the Justice Department, so why do they care? But this is getting crazy.
It's the complete weaponization of the Justice Department for politicized partisan purposes.
Yeah. So $10 million you've got from Soros?
I think you're misreading that. I think you're not understanding that Soros is spending that money not on me, but for other things maybe. Like, he is – I don't know. Like paying for hackers to manufacture an email to Jones saying your sources are batshit crazy and you're going to get in a shitload of trouble if you don't stop. Like, that can't
cost $10 million.
Yeah, there's no way that's a real email.
Again, he can listen. I'm saying that he gave you that money up front, and you've been outsourcing all of your deep state shit for a while now. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, if we want to break down the line items of all the nefarious things that Soros could be doing, hackers.
What's a hacker cost?
Add in the New York Times.
What's a hacker's hourly rate?
I don't know, but it can't be $10 million.
No.
Yeah, that's what surprises me is the megalomania of thinking that it would take $10 million to destroy you when you have engineered your own destruction. Like, that is just
– and paid for it.
Doesn't take that. Yeah. it just takes somebody like, look, me and a couple of members of my firm have decided we'd like to kind of chill out a little bit and devote more of our time to this and to going after him. And that's been fun. Mm-hmm. It's been rewarding. It's been nice to see it happen, but it hasn't been like we didn't need deep state funding to do it. Like, we just needed a little bit of extra time to be willing to say that because this is the reality of it is this may end up in a situation where, and the families know this too, that this could be either very rewarding for them. They could be adequately compensated under the law, or they might not be, but that the goal here is to have the moment of reckoning to have it happen.
Yeah. And to see it through.
Yeah. To see it through. And we're going to see it through, and it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't understand why he thinks it has to be like there has to be like this global earth-shattering conspiracy to destroy him.
It's, I can explain this very easily. He's a narcissist.
Yep.
And he believes crazy nonsense conspiracy theories to explain everything that's really inconvenient for him. So those combine.
And he has a tenuous, if not completely lost grasp on reality.
That is true.
Yeah.
But look, he's got documents. So once he releases these, we'll see the budget that Soros has for this $10 million.
I'm eating so much crow. I'm just going to be so embarrassed.
This reminds me of the Soros Antifa contracts
100%.
That he had that were just from a 4chan troll post. I think that might be... like, as disappointing. This will be as disappointing as that.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. Yep.
So Barnes has some thoughts about this case in and of itself. And, basically, Alex is getting jammed up. That's what's going on here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the goal has been just pure intimidation tactics. It's the only thing they know, just like the intimidation tactics they took with Russia, thought they could shut down Russia's economy, thought they could change Russia's governance simply with these tactics. It's the same tactics and techniques, but it's the complete dangerous, partisan, politicized weaponization of the Justice Department.
And what's dangerous, Barnes, is that they don't quit. When it fails, they double down. So what's the double down going to look like?
I mean, they're going to keep accelerating and escalating until they get a rigged outcome. And the problem they have, if they had confidence in the merits of their case, then they wouldn't be using these shenanigans. They wouldn't be having the U.S. trustee interfere in a bankruptcy in a highly questionable manner to try to prevent a party from the legal rights and remedies bankruptcy affords, which, by the way, is only an option because the plaintiffs chose to sue entities they knew didn't have any assets. This is, you know, and so that shows the scale of it. If they had confidence in their case, they wouldn't use these shenanigans.
Well, that's the thing. They're saying there's hundreds of millions of dollars in these entities. We're maxed out, don't have any money. So I'm like, okay, we'll show them. And then they're pissed.
Because the whole case was premised on a fiction. A fiction based on a sort of Mike Myers style latest version of a delusional interpretation of Alex Jones.
Yeah, Barnes got the notes about like Mike Myers being.
Is he getting paid by Netflix?
I heard some weird noises you were making in that clip.
Yeah, wow. Some of that's really surprising. Okay, so first of all, this is hilarious. Okay, so this idea that we sued entities that we knew had no assets, right?
And yeah, you guys are crazy for doing that. What kind of idiot would sue entities that you knew didn't have any assets?
Okay, so fans of the show will understand this, that the first time that Rob Dew got into a lot of trouble is because he appeared for a deposition for InfoWars LLC because we were trying to figure out what the hell it is because it was – at the time of suit, it was listed on the website as the entity that ran the website and everything. Yeah. Like it was – the entity, right? And free speech does the payroll, all this kind of shit. We get Rob Dew got his first sanction for not having any clue what the hell InfoWars LLC did or was and claimed that like, no, it's not a thing. It doesn't do anything. And then they reciprocally said, no, look, Rob Dew just doesn't know what he's talking about. Like it's a thing. It owns the intellectual property. It's got the website. It's got all of this stuff. And it became a morass for like 2 years. And that's part of like why Robert Barnes is no longer on the case because he did a bunch of shenanigans with that. Is that like trying this whole thing about InfoWars LLC, they were hiding it from the beginning because they knew that was a card they were going to play later. So like that in and of itself is kind of dumb. The idea that here's Robert Barnes saying that they're scared of the merits of the case, so they're pulling shenanigans while in the midst of pulling a shenanigan to avoid a trial.
No, right? That's like why already... you guys delayed it for 4 years. Mm-hmm. That because you're afraid of the merits of your case. You guys have been pushing it back, playing shenanigans with bankruptcy judges in order to keep it from going to trial.
That's why you messed around so much with the discovery.
This was a good refuge when your argument was that the default judgments were unfair, that we fucked around for 4 years and it's unfair. Now you're not going to have a full trial on the merits. Like that was a good argument. To now say that we are getting the U.S. Like here's the thing about Robert Barnes is like he's not – he's really, really – out of his element in a lot of places. But one thing that Robert Barnes knows 100% is that I did not enlist the U.S. trustee to do a goddamn thing. The U.S. trustee did whatever it was going to do. Robert Barnes knows that. 100% he knows that. He's a damn liar to get up there and
say
that.
Are you saying that he's lying?
Yeah, 100%. I am saying he is lying.
But lawyers can't lie. Isn't that against the rules?
That's apparently against the rules.
Isn't that against the rules? What's the point of a justice system if your lawyer can lie?
I do think, you know, you're saying that Barnes is out of his element a lot of places, but he's in his element when it's public opinion type stuff like this, like being on.
This is his job. You're right. Yeah. He was not adequately deployed as the person to be in the courtroom. That's not where he does what he needs to do. He's doing what he needs to do right here. And this is what he does.
He should be a PR lawyer.
He's a fundraiser is what he is. He's there for no other. He doesn't actually swing public opinion. He doesn't inform anybody. He doesn't do any of that. It's there to make InfoWars people give Alex Jones money. That's what
he might also plug his locals page.
Also to get his own money.
He have his own thing going? Good
on
for
the Patreon alternative for people who can't be responsibly on Patreon.
Whatever happened to that collective of lawyers he was fundraising for several years ago?
Oh, the one that he was promoting on Stefan Molyneux's show?
Yeah, the one that was so important and was going to do a lot of...
the fascist SPLC.
It's going to take care of everybody, remember?
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Oh, it didn't?
I don't think so.
Weird.
So, Alex asks Barnes here to back him up, man. Hey, man, I'm broke, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm broke, Barnes.
Hey, come on. Let him know. I'm broke.
Yeah, back me up.
And they want to pretend that the InfoWars audience is this deluded audience when, in fact, it's one of the most informed audiences in the entire world.
And plus, Robert, you were involved in Discovery and our finances, because I don't judge myself by money. I spend it almost all. I got a decent house, a nice car, health care, but I don't worship money. I'm not trying to pile up money. How much last time you checked, how much money does Alex Jones have? They keep claiming I have hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't have $5 million.
Well, all of these entities they knew didn't that are in bankruptcy, they knew didn't have it from the very beginning of Discovery. We sat down and showed them there's nothing there. There's nothing in there. They knew it and said you should dismiss them. You know, why is Owen Schroyer being sued as part of all this? This is purely lawfare, and it's politically motivated lawfare. I'm not putting Owen down,
but in Discovery, he has like $50,000 in the bank. I mean, it's all lies.
Oh, man. Putting Owen's business on the streets.
I would be furious if I was Owen.
Also, the reason to sue Owen is because he defamed people.
Yeah, exactly. The same reason that you got. Yeah.
His resources are not necessarily.
I don't want to talk about Owen, but every night he goes down to the Summit nightclub, he's wearing a barrel with some suspenders on it. It's just pathetic. I just can't even deal with it. I'm just a poor guy.
They should. There should be.
I wish whoever employs him should probably pay him more. But that's just such shit. I don't even know.
Oh yeah, that is a good point. Alex could do something about.
Oh,
Owen's
he could.
Financial
about Owen's destituteness.
He's got several hundred million dollars.
I will tell you that the moment that Owen decided to carry water for Alex Jones, it came out in deposition. He got bought a brand new Dodger Hellcat. So you know that's apparently what the price of water cost. That's wild there that Barnes is like, we sat down with them and showed them. You didn't sit down with anybody. We had to file like 6 motions for sanctions over the course of 2 years.
This would be such a great moment for Alex to play one of his clips that he doesn't know what actually is in it. And we just snuck in a clip of the deposition of the business of just him being like, I have no idea what this business does. I don't know how to tell you what it does because I don't know.
Are you the only person who runs that business?
Maybe.
Sure.
It's funny. You really can juxtapose this with like the things Barnes said in that due deposition. Like he just started getting up and talking to try to cover their ass. And it's like, wow, to compare that to now, it's just, I don't know. I know y'all have done some deposition videos. Y'all haven't covered their corporate representative in Fontaine yet. And that's the one where they're basically like, yeah, we're going to sue the shit out of Robert Barnes. I mean, like here's the guy that Jones wrote an affidavit. Like, this is sworn testimony, y'all. Like, wrote an affidavit in Connecticut saying, yeah, Robert Barnes botched the case. Please don't dismiss our case. We got a new lawyer. He's going to take care of it. And we 86 that dude. He's a piece of work. We got rid of him. And
hey, we'll see him on the show next week.
He's on the show next week. Like, God,
my guess is that Barnes probably knows about that and that he's not going to get to.
I'll go you one better. Barnes wrote that affidavit, I'll bet you. Like, that is just like.
He's like, yeah, just throw me under that bus.
I'm sure you guys are going to sue me. Let's see how well that goes. I've seen your defense.
Yeah. I also just love the idea of like sitting there and like, Barnes, back me up. The last time you saw, how much money did I have?
I got nothing. I'm broke, aren't I, Barnes? Tell him I got no money.
Barnes, last time you looked at my wallet, what was it?
Shit.
Yeah. So,
God, fucked up your protective order. We know how much money you have. It's all been leaked to the press. Like, stop. Fucking, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, we know. Like, stop this.
That's all fake news, according to the World of Alex's show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that good bubble point. Is impenetrable.
It's true. So, good here point. Is just some shit talk from Alex and Barnes.
If they believed in their case, they would have a trial on the merits with a jury.
And let's expand. They've defaulted, and you saw the filing where in Texas they say, we can't talk or bring up the First Amendment. I mean, it's beyond a kangaroo trial.
Oh, completely. I mean, if they have confidence, why are they scared of an Austin jury, a liberal Austin jury pool? Why are they scared of a liberal Connecticut jury pool? They know that even those jury pools, when they see the actual facts in the case, will not write big checks of the kind that they demand. will not bankrupt InfoWars fundamentally and functionally moving forward. So that's why they
then
have to.
Then why'd you declare bankruptcy?
Based on a fake narrative because, and use procedural tricks.
So do you have any response to these questions?
Yeah, why did you declare bankruptcy? If these cases are not a threat to you, if there's some evidence that's going to come out that's going to protect you, the absolute wise move to take, like honestly, is to take the first verdict. And if I fall on my face and InfoWars doesn't get a big ass verdict against it, then you can probably weather the rest of the cases, no problem. You don't need to declare bankruptcy. The idea of declaring bankruptcy is you know that these cases are catastrophic. You know that. That's insane to claim otherwise. And they're still pounding this drum about you didn't want a case on the merits. Believe me, my level of frustration over everything that's happened to have to get a default in this case, because you don't need it. That's the real shame of it is this case is a punitive case and always has been since the beginning. And so like the idea that we're scared of an Austin jury, Jesus, after you just stopped the trial at its doorstep, you're going to tell me I'm God, you after, especially it's, from the guy who literally ran away from this jurisdiction so I could stop beating him like a redheaded stepchild. That is,
it's basically
now realizing that is not a politically correct metaphor to use. You should not beat redheaded stepchild. That is not an okay thing to do. I beat him like Robert Barnes, which is how you should absolutely do.
It's just basically like a bully running away and then being like, why are you running away?
Hold me back. Yeah. Hold me back.
Yeah.
It is one of those sorts of things. 100%.
I do think that there is an interesting thing that kind of works for the presentation of Alex's show, but it's so transparent. The why won't you debate me? Why won't you have the case on the merits? Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, I know from conversations and being following this case and having Mark on the show a number of times. I don't believe for a second that the goal was a default judgment.
No,
everything would have led to a trial if Alex had cooperated.
Yep.
And done his piece of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just...
Just go to the very basics of it, right? Like Jones saying in deposition of like, this should be a trial on the merits about what I said. I'd love that, except I don't have what you said. You keep destroying all the shit you said and like you're hiding everything. That's kind of challenging. That is already challenging, but I was already prepared to do without all of that. But it's wild. Everybody knows here that this is only a question of how much. This is never a question of what you did. It's like them rattling off about the First Amendment thing, right? When he talks about that pleading, what he's talking about is at the beginning of trial, you're allowed to ask the court to say that certain matters and certain arguments shouldn't be allowed to be advanced. And one of those in this case is that Alex's conduct was protected by the First Amendment because by law, it wasn't. He said false facts about these plaintiffs. He's already got a default judgment against him. At that point, the First Amendment doesn't protect his conduct. It's already been found as a matter of law. Of course, he can't talk about the First Amendment at trial.
Yeah.
But that was going to be his whole plan. Like,
it's not like a barring of the First Amendment. It's that it's already been determined that it's not relevant.
Today, I decree the First Amendment has been turned off. Yeah. This is my courtroom.
Yeah. That's an interesting lion impression.
Yeah, that was a pretty good lion impression.
He got 4 years to do a First Amendment argument. And he actually, even though all of the bull, like he talks about it being a kangaroo court, the reality is that even of all the bullshit he did, he got to go ahead and appeal this all the way up to the Texas Supreme Court. He got two layers of appeals on a First Amendment argument. And he fell on his face in both of them. And it's so to say that like, oh, this has something to do with he's being denied. No, it doesn't. Stop that shit. And the idea that they think that they're scared, it's all so dumb. I mean, at least you may have more clips, but I don't, from Barnes anyway.
You may have more clips, but I am leaving this fucking show right now.
Barnes anyway just seems to be kind of trying to be in cover his ass mode of like, he knows this is going to go down bad and he knows his name is going to be somewhat tied to it. And he's going to have ways to have built-in excuses about why he was so unsuccessful and why everybody else was. But for Jones seems to be in more legit panic mode at this point.
Well, I mean, I think the excuses are there, and whether or not they match with reality is obviously they don't. But they do kind of work from a PR propaganda level. Right. Like, you're too afraid to have a case on the merits, so you're using all these lawfare tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Most people listening to Alex will probably just agree and accept that, regardless
100%.
If there's anything 100%. Behind it. And you were correct, Mark. I do have one more clip. Your prediction was correct. And it also includes Bobby making some allegations that I'm going to need a response after the clip.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, InfoWars has been denied the right to bring motions to dismiss, the right to bring motions to summary judgment, the right to bring anti-slap motions, and now denied the right to for a trial on the merits. And now they're trying to deny them even bankruptcy law protection. That's the scale and scope of this politicized, weaponized mechanism to come after InfoWars. And it's because of the power of the audience.
His voice is falling apart.
Yeah. He should take a breath.
Yeah.
Take a drink.
That was scaring me a little bit. So there's a number of allegations in there, Mark. Yeah. How say
line
you on
line.
These denials of motions that...
Right. Okay, so denied the ability to have a motion to dismiss. No, actually, Barnes filed one and they had three more, too. So they had four of those.
I know that I've looked at the, at least the like Connecticut docket, and there's at least a few motions to dismiss in there.
Yeah, Connecticut gets a little hazy, and I'll explain that in a minute. But basically, down in Texas anyway, they had four of them. And in fact, one of them was so bad that they got fined like $35,000 for bringing a completely frivolous motion on. They definitely had all that chance. And then the second one was the motions for summary judgment. Basically what this is once the case has gone through some discovery, you're allowed to bring a motion to have certain issues declared that there's no dispute of fact over those issues. And that can be anything from like damages to there's a lot of different issues you can bring it on. They had the ability to bring those motions and then they just didn't. Like they missed their deadline. They had a deadline back in February of this year, and then they didn't do that. And part of that was back when Brad Reeves was handling the case, and there was like a switchover. They just didn't do it. Like they had every opportunity to do it, they didn't do it.
Sounds like they were denied the opportunity to me.
Right. By. Yeah. Right.
I was denied the opportunity to go into the NFL.
That is true.
Yeah. Exactly. By right. So then they had these denied the ability to do these anti-slap motions. They had 2 years of appeals of anti-slap motions. That's just ridiculous. And particularly with Barnes, that's fantastic because Barnes did a bunch of like really how would I describe this? Improper things relating to discovery, which as we discussed before, they wrote an affidavit about him doing all this shit. And as a result, he walked in front of my court and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm just going to abandon our motion to dismiss on the anti-slap so I don't get in trouble. I don't want a sanctions order against me, so I'm just giving that up." So Barnes is the one who threw that out the window by his own misconduct. And then you have – they've been denied the opportunity to do bankruptcy. Now, you did your bankruptcy. You just lied in it. So, like, it didn't work. Like, that's not my fault. I didn't do anything. Like, I mean, it literally came apart at the seams. Like, I can't even take credit for that. You just did something really dumb.
No, they
like,
just
like okay,
could.
you stopped the trial, but like I don't even you just wasted everybody's time. Congratulations. What do you want? Like
this list of things that Barnes is bringing up is more just like this didn't work. This didn't work.
Yeah,
this didn't work.
Yeah, when he says denied the ability, what he means is we lost.
We weren't allowed to succeed with
yes,
this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a little bit like if you've ever been walking up the stairs and you just your eyes and your legs missed and you trip going up the stairs and you're like, this is very embarrassing. And you see then people see you and you're like, if this was somebody else's fault, there's no way that I just tripped like this. It was a ghost. Yeah, absolutely. No. Somebody threw a ball nearby and you just can't accept responsibility for looking like an asshole.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like.
It does.
It's bad. Yeah.
So this brings us to the end of our clips for this. Mm. I feel like I don't know. Is this cathartic? Was this?
It is. So I will tell you this. This is obviously not a normal case. Everything that's happening is totally absurd. And then for the past couple of weeks, I've just been sort of off in orbit, you know, like away from my life, from everything, from all of it. And there is no chance to vent about it. To get all of this out, and
so you got your anger back. You know, you went on vacation. You went on vacation. You were feeling real relaxed. You're like, you know what? I'm going to treat this case like I better put my head down and go to work.
And then
you come on this show, and you're like, I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
You need a dose of
you
bullshit.
Play the clip.
Jordan yelling.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just a lot of it's jaw dropping. A lot of it is It's just it's you get to a point to where, I mean, everything about this case has been so unorthodox. And when you hear them talking about the things it's nice to be able to come on here and acknowledge to your audience, not just that the things that they're being told isn't true or whatever, that like, you know, like, it's just that this is so far off the rails that it's difficult for lawyers to comprehend. I'm off in different territory. This
yes,
isn't
it's very clear.
This isn't a lawsuit anymore. This is a clown show. And so that's just how you have to treat it at this point. So no, it's nice to come out and talk with you guys. I wish I could give you a more definitive update about what's about to happen. And I just can't. I just don't know. I'm still in a holding pattern. I know where this bankruptcy stunt is over, but to say that that's the end of the stunts would be naive. So
sure. But at least that's sort of that's an update in and of itself, though, yeah. You know, because that's like we were saying, that's kind of a chapter has resolved. So there's an update in as much as that bankruptcy thing is deflated and now will it's uncharted waters, I guess.
We're running the question mark meter hurdles race. So, you know, you just keep jumping over fucking hurdles and hopefully eventually the race ends.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I was telling somebody the other day I just happened to watch Apocalypse Now, the Redux version, and we were watching that
so
scene.
So you also
with
like
Robert
vodka.
Duvall. Yeah, exactly. It's funny. It's that scene actually where you have Robert Duvall sitting on the beach right after the napalm and everything, and he's just sort of feeling kind of wistful, and he just turns to Willard and he's like, "Someday this war is going to end," and God, you start to feel that at the end of this. You start to feel that like. You've been living on this thing of it never ends. It never ends. There's always something more. And at some point it will end. And then you're kind of left in there's not going to be a good denouement for this for my literature fans out there. There's not going to be a good it's going to be an end and it's going to be a reckoning and then it's all going to be over.
And then there will be a coda.
What comes after that. Yeah. There's probably going to be 5 years of coda on this bullshit. Like it is. This is never leaving my life. That's the thing I've had to resign myself to, is that I get to do my normal life and I get to do most of that normal stuff. And then this side little piece of it, I get to devote to the absolutely most insane lawsuit in America.
Yeah, I mean, like, think about it.
They're going to do, like, 10 years after the Alex Jones lawsuit. We talked to Mark Bankston.
That'll probably linger around. But, I mean, like, that's kind of the essence of, like, getting involved in, like, looking at Alex Jones in a critical way, whether it's through a podcast or legally. It goes on much longer than you think.
You didn't expect it.
We thought we would be doing this podcast for 6 months.
Maybe.
And here we are. Yeah. So, yeah. It's,
I thought I'd be to a jury in a year and a half. So,
these expectations are never quite what you think.
Well, I don't know. I'm getting ready for that moment where we switch gears to this is the trial. This is the reckoning. We can put all the dumb bullshit behind us and actually do the thing that people have been waiting for us to do for 4 goddamn years. Mm-hmm. And when it happens I can tell you right now, we're going to do it right. And it's just a matter of when Jones is going to let that happen.
Well, we're excited for you to get there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it'll come.
Yes, it will. It'll be there. Yeah.
But Mark, thank you for joining us. This has been a lot of fun to check in. And I appreciate you being able to give some context, even if the context is this confuses even lawyers.
Yeah.
Because if it confuses lawyers, you better believe I would have no ability to talk about Barnes other than just being like, that's
look at
not
this
true.
Asshole.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's basically all I could say.
Thank you for letting me the chance to get it all, get some steam off, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I look forward to updates and knowing when the trial actually happens so we can get tickets again.
Yay!
Refundable this time.
Ah, that's the plan.
But we should wrap this up, Jordan.
Indeed.
Until next time. We have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yes. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight. Go to bed, Jordan.
Yes. But we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. And I wish you all a dreamy, creamy summer. But don't get involved in astronaut ice cream. It's not worth it. It is a dangerous game.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.